Now it is time for the Sports, Business, and Law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. Joining us, as always, is the sports professor, Rick Haro, who is the visiting expert on sports law at Harvard. And you can see him each week on both CNN and ESPN. You can also find Rick's weekly blog and podcast at MSNN, msn.foxsports.com. And, of course, you can listen to him each week in this very time slot right here with us. Good morning, Rick.
Do you realize that whenever I ever have a choice of law firms, McDonald Hopkins is where I go? It's one of the best law firms in the universe. It's not just
I know they've bailed you out of jail a few times.
No, listen,
I'm not
that's even that's in the bank in case it ever happens, and all the parole violations and all that. We're all kidding. Peter's carrying you today. I've been listening. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. Doesn't that violate your contract, though, that statement about McDonald Hopkins?
Yeah, but I'm supposed to be, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a non-lawyer spokesman, but I'm a lawyer. Sorry about that. Never mind.
You are a lawyer.
Yeah, no, I'm a lawyer. That's right. Rooney reminds me from time to time, but he's a lawyer, too, although with his demeanor, you're not really sure. He's a golfer. Rooney, before we start, how did you do yesterday?
I made it by the skin of my teeth, Rick. The cut, we're talking about the Palm Beach County amateur qualifier. There's three of them, and I was in the second of the three yesterday down at Quail Ridge in Boynton. And Rick and I and Russ played a practice round on Friday, and I played much more relaxed on Friday than I did yesterday, Rick, but I shot the same score. So I shot 78, which wasn't real good, but it doesn't matter in the qualifier. All you got to do is get in. It's like pass-fail. And the cut was at 79. So,
did you putt like you have the dry heave like you did on Friday?
Putted a little bit better than the drive heave stroke that I had going on Friday, but the irons were better. I wasn't driving it quite as well as I did Friday, where I think I hit 13 or 14. But the iron play was much better, and that put a little less stress on the putting when I was hitting it a little closer. But the score ended up being the same, so that's golf for you.
All right, people don't want to hear about this. What do you have on your mind?
All right, I got to ask you, Rick. You know, we've been talking a little bit so far about the U.S. Open that just concluded this past Monday. And some of the stuff I've been reading about dealing with the economic downturn and, you know, the fact that Congress has been on golf's rear end about, you know, they don't want corporate entities spending money on golf. It's a waste of money, and it's only for the elite and blah, blah, blah. Well, the stuff I've been reading says that there were 40% less corporate tents bought this year, by and large due to the economic downturn, but also because, I guess, you know, some of these corporations were feeling heat from the government not to be spending money on this stuff. Obviously, the rain, I think, hurt, you know, the flow of the event. Attendance was down 10,000 from 2002. But Rick, give me what you've learned so far in the last week about, you know, the economic impact that this event had. And you can compare it to 2002 if you want. But, you know, did this have, you know, was it significantly hurt by the economy and or the government in terms of the economic impact?
I'll compare it to other stuff, too. You know, here's my kind of takeaway of sports and the economy. Everything's down about 10-15%. U.S. Open was no different. The rain didn't help. New York helped. But also, people are going to the premium events. That's second, no matter what. Third is it's causing corporations to be more creative and to shake things out, and that's exactly what happened here, the 10%. You're right. The economic impact, $80, $90 million. A lot of it was also because they got a fifth day out of it. They got the sixth because people go Wednesday for the practice round, but they gave the tickets away, remember, for people who had them Thursday to come on the Monday, but that doesn't include concessions. If you want to go again and buy another hat, you know, God bless you, buy another hat. So the merchandise numbers were higher than expected, even though the overall attendance was down a little bit. And here's the other thing. There were, I think the number was 72 corporate tents for sale and 48 were sold. And a little bit of it was the economy. A little bit of it is people are scared to entertain, which I think is dead wrong, because if you're open for business, you got to do what you used to do that causes people to buy your product, and that's this as well. But more important, people are a little more careful. I was in the Barclays tent for a while, and they get it. Obviously, they also have Phil as a big sponsor and spend a lot of money. But also, there are other companies who are looking at the people in those tents and saying, hey, wait a second, you know, are these our own people? You know, why are we doing the caviar? Let's figure out how to cut and be a little more efficient. So I think there's a little more efficient corporate spending going on as opposed to the economy cutting everything.
Hey, Rick, what do you think it's possible to alter the perception and say, we're doing corporate hospitality because we're one of the strong companies and we're going to survive. And so we're going to go ahead and be out front. We're going to continue doing what we did because we're going to show the public that we're one of the businesses that's going to be around. We're here, and while the economy is hurting everybody, we're the strong.
Do you know that General Motors, Peter, spent nearly $100 million on their rebound campaign over the next 2 years with three of the biggest ad agencies in the world? And that's exactly your point, which is we may come out of it like we went into it with a splash, and it's part of the sub-point I talked about before. If you're going to stay open for business, you better darn well advertise, and your ad is another one, which is if you know you have a business plan where you're going to thrive, not just survive, you ought to talk about it.
Yeah, I think GM has even announced as early as this week that they're going to go ahead and go forward with the Buick.
They're going to do that, but they're also cutting back on NASCAR spending, and they told people that. But at the same time, they're putting the ads on that say, we're in this for good. We're altering our ad dollars and our sponsored dollars. We're reevaluating. We're becoming more efficient. Some stuff we cut, some stuff we don't. And we're not going to do stuff just because we used to do stuff. And I think it's a pretty aggressive campaign, especially if you believe that General Motors and other big companies are important to our economy to survive. Then they got to do what they're comfortable with, which is advertise to the consumer.
Pat Rooney, Peter Bernhardt here, joined by Rick Horro, the sports professor, on the Sports Business and Law segment here on the Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Rick, I got a sort of a general question for you regarding U.S. Opens, but I guess you could put this with any other big sporting event, maybe like the Super Bowl or the Final Four or something. When they have the U.S. Open near a major metropolitan area, and I mean really close, like Bethpage is within 30 miles or less, I guess, of New York City.
Well, and Oakmont and Pittsburgh, Oakmont. Right, and for other majors, Olympic in San Francisco, well, and Olympia Hills in Chicago. And on and on. You're right.
Like next year, they're going to have it at Pebble Beach, which is not super close to San Francisco. It's kind of on its own little island there. And then they're talking about U.S. Opens in, I think, Washington State and somewhere in Wisconsin. And
time out. Rooney on geography. Peter, is Pebble Beach on an island?
It's called Peninsula.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, good. Keep going. I'm sorry.
It's sort of like an island.
It's sort of like Florida's an island. That's all right. No problem.
But it's an island, but it's attached.
Oh, an attached island. All right. You learn something every week that's new on the Golf Exchange.
That's what I meant. An attached island.
An attached island.
But here's my question. Does that event, whatever it is, whatever big event it is, have more of an economic impact, or however you want to count, whatever term you want to couch it in, if it's closer to a metropolitan area, or does it matter, no matter how far it is, it's still going to have a big economic impact on that area?
That's a very good question, and a lot of it depends on the kind of stuff you calculate for impact. A lot of merchandise sales, a lot of local vendors, the closer it is to a big-time metropolitan area, the more impact there, because people will go out to eat and they'll go spend some time at the entertainment complexes as well. The other side of it, you have more people coming from farther away if it's in an isolated area, and the hotels benefit a little more that way. So it really is different depending on the locality. New York, everybody's coming. They're wrapping their plans around the event. You know, with our attached island, it's different because people are going to stay because it's a tourist destination in theory, and you're going to get, for example, we'll talk about this a lot in the next few weeks and months, the Super Bowl and Pro Bowl, the first time the NFL has done that together. So we'll set all kinds of economic impact records if we do it right regionally, because Palm Beach, Dade, and Broward counties ought to combine to make sure people stay for 2 weeks in January and February, not just one.
Good luck on getting the three counties to cooperate.
There you go. Well, that's an obvious comment, too, and we'll get into that a little more about how Palm Beach County can kind of step up a bit.
Rick, another real last question really on the U.S. Open. We talked about this all show. Any chance that this comes back to the New York area anytime soon, or is 2017 going to be, you know, just by the way the schedule's been laid out, is that going to be the earliest it comes back?
Well, a lot of people are hoping that Bethpage Black gets another shot at it, and Wingfoot continues to look at the rotation. There's nothing better, apparently, than public course U.S. Opens in metropolitan areas. And if you believe that's what the USGA seems to like as well, then that's important. Remember, it's not just for the fans, although the fans are a big deal. It's for the corporate sponsors. And you know all the New York corporations find it easier to entertain if it's within the shadow of the Empire State Building.
All righty, Rick. Well, I can't let you go without asking you a Michael Jackson question. I know you've got some bizarre connection you've got to with Michael Jackson and sports. So give me something from the world of Michael Jackson and the world of sports.
It's the glove. So, no, tonight, actually, at 6:45, I'm doing 15 minutes on CNN about this, a shameless promotion. But do you realize that he really was the person that moved the Super Bowl to the next level? Because in 1992, CBS had the Super Bowl, and Up With People was the halftime show. And needless to say, 20 million people shut it off and said, let's go to the new Fox program. Arlen Kenterian, Radio City Music Hall CEO at that point, said, we got to start something else, and we've got to put a big-time halftime show together that works. Michael Jackson, 93, Super Bowl 27, and the rest is history. So every big halftime show since then, Michael Jackson was the pioneer there. So Pat Rooney, man of the people. Look, I know if I had to vote for somebody who I wanted to represent me, by the way, in my coming years, I would think of Rooney. I know you didn't ask me, but I figured that was an interesting comment.
Well, next week, Rick, I'm going to ask you Farrah Fawcett's connection with the sports world.
So I got to think of something else there, and I got to weave in the Rooney compliment too. The Rooney compliments are getting harder by the day. By the way, I just want to get it out.
I know, but that's you're coming up with something, so I appreciate that.
I can't figure out why Michael Jackson passing is a bigger story than Farrah Fawcett.
That's exactly right, and I can't figure out why this story is now resonating. You know, it's bigger today in terms of hits than it was on Friday because of Facebook and everybody's talking about how they knew him or how they wanted to know him. It's a strange country. Peter, you continue to carry the show because I'm feeling very comfortable that the next hour is in good hands.
All right, Rick, before we go Up With People here, I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah,
all right,
you
he
are.
Is Rick Haro, the sports professor. Also, he joins us every week at this time. I don't know why, but he does. He joins us every week. You can catch him, like I said, on CNN and ESPN. And as you mentioned, he's going to be on tonight on CNN and also on MSN.FoxSports.com. Rick, thanks again. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Take care, Rick.